And you know, we seek it. We're in a world where there's a lot of hard troubles, right? And people have hard trouble, but I'm dealing with people who have a troubled heart. You know, a troubled heart. But you see, your physical heart might have certain, you know, like in cases of heart attack and stuff like that, it's when sometimes people have a heart disease, or some people create a heart disease by their habits, and you know, we got like cholesterol blockage and all these things that cause a lot of heart attacks. But there are people today with a whole lot of troubled hearts. You know, when it says, let not your heart be troubled, and we see there are so many things that goes on in this world that cause you to wonder, you know, what next? You know, with children, with politics, with economy, with, you know, with people in the whole, you know, sometimes it gives you a lot of heart trouble. You know, a lot, it leaves you to wonder, you know, sometimes when you're dealing, you know, like I might deal with my kids sometimes, and they, you know, they misbehaving, and you might give them a spanking and still do the same thing, and, you know, and you do different things and they still do the same thing. And then you'd be like, what next? What, you know, it leaves you a little trouble. What could you do now to get the message across? Because they're missing it, you know. But in a case here where Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled, he was about to tell them that he was going away.
All right.
And they had a troubled heart because he was about to tell them something that will twist their world around to say that he's going to leave, because they have given their life and everything over to serving him for the last 3 years. And they give up everything, and they give up their work and everything, and they was just behind Jesus and following him all the time. So when he said, let not your heart be troubled, sometimes we're gonna face some things in life. Some people are facing it right now, but sometimes you're about to face some things and you might be in trouble. But your heart might, you know, you might start to worry, you might start to lose hope. I'm wondering, what am I going to do now? You know, like some people even moving into a new, like what's moving into another state. We kind of wonder, oh, what next? How are we going to handle this? But we just trust God. You know, as the word has said, how you handle this, believe in God, believe also in me. And so, When you're going through a troubled heart, a situation where you find that it's hard, you don't know what you're going to do next. What to do next in this situation? We could just say, go to the Word of God. It says, believe in God, believe also in Jesus Christ. I'm looking at this thing so many times whereby a lot of people say, I'm a believer, I'm a Christian. And I started to look into this thing. And you know, the Bible says that even the devil believe. James chapter 2, verse 19. The devil believe and tremble. So a lot of people believe. So, but where are they? You know, they're not in a position where they are actually believing and trusting. But what is different from those people who believe and not really saved, for those people who believe and really saved? But the difference is those that, to me, I see that those that wants to follow, because the devil wouldn't follow. The devil believed, but he wouldn't follow. You know, but these people, these men be following Jesus all along. You know, now they, when Jesus leave, they will have no leader, right? They will, you know, so when he's telling them, I'm going to go, they're going to be like, what are we going to do now? Because we're the one that were behind you, and we seek you for guidance and leading and direction each and every step of the way. But if we believe and trust in God, we must believe in Jesus Christ. And Jesus is the one who said he's the way, the truth, and the life as it goes down. So we need to believe, not only believe, but believe with a following intention. You know, don't just believe. And if you believe in today, but you're not really following what it means to follow. What it means to follow. You know? You ponder that in your mind for a second before I bring it out. You know, what do it mean to follow the Lord? You know? In my mind, what it means to follow the Lord is when He tells us something, we obey. The Bible says, if you love me, what are you going to do? You're going to keep my commandment or keep my word. So when we hear the word, so day by day, we're going to find that as we listen to the word of God, it's going to speak into our lives. It's going to show us. The word has become like a mirror unto us. And when we see Christ, it reflects our default, our shortcomings, you know. And when we see those things, we come to a point where we repent and we move on. And day by day, we're going to find ourselves in a way of repenting. You're not repenting over the same thing over and over again, but you're repenting of new things that God showed to you. And you repent and you follow. So if the Lord says you shouldn't lie, and then you after 10 years in church, you're still lying, then something is wrong. You know, you believe, but you're not following. You know, because you hear the word over and over again, but it's not penetrating into your life. A lot, you know, sometimes when I misminister the word, first when I start ministering word, sometimes you try to impress people, you know, and try to come off good. But no, it don't bother me how I come off. It don't bother me how I come off. But what my main interest here right now is not to impress, but to impact. You know, I want to impact. I want a message that will be able to you to look into and find a way where you can move on in the Lord. I don't want, the Bible says, if I be lifted up, not me, not Jerry, but or Gerald, it's if Jesus be lifted up. Yes. You know, if Jesus be lifted up, He'll draw men unto. That's what God wants to do. He wants to draw people unto Himself. And if I come here, the Bible says that we should do our good works, that it may let your light so shine that men may see your good works and glorify who? You know, it mustn't be like, oh, Jerry's a good boy, good man, you know, he's a wonderful horse, he's a nice guy. Oh, there's not the, you know, if you're doing that, you missed it. You know, because it's Christ in me that is causing. So I need to show the image of God so that people can see the work. So we need to walk in a way where we are showing forth God within us. And when people see us, when they try to give you glory, you could have said, you got to turn out and said, no, it's not me. It's Christ in me that make me do this. It's Christ in me show forth kindness. It's Christ in me that show forth love. It's Christ in me that show forth, you know, giving or anything else, you know, that God is doing in your life, you know. If I hadn't been saved, I'd probably be maybe doing drugs or alcohol or even in prison, or probably wouldn't even be alive today. But because of Christ in me, that is making a difference. So my image is to show the light of Christ. You know, my light is a reflection of His light. And day by day, I need to seek Him and see if when I look into the word becomes a mirror, and I can see myself that I'm not matching up with what the Word of God says. And then I come to a place of repentance and moving on. So we keep moving on. The Bible says, as we move on from what, glory to glory, and that's what we need to do. Not you know when people like to, you know, like, you know, if God bless me with a house and land and well, that is great. But when God has done a work in my life, that is greater. Yes. That is much greater. You know, it's better than any house, better than any land, because our body is actually the house of God. You know, our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. It's a place where God should be dwelling in. And not God, where God is dwelling in your house, and then you are telling Him, okay, God, you sit in a corner, I got to do this. You know, you sit in a corner, I got to tell this neighbor off. You know, and no, we got to let Him be Lord over our house.
Amen.
You know, over this temple. You know, so when we do anything, Do it as unto the Lord. But this Pastor Paul, old word from way back and never stop. You know, and thank God for that. Do it as unto the Lord. And so we gotta always be in that mode where we are allowing God to be the one who controls this house. You know, this house, not this building here, but this building here. You know, this temple is the most important thing. You know, God can bless you in many ways, but let Him, because this temple here is where you're gonna, is that is where. This temple will go with Christ and live with Christ eternally. So if you are looking after and dressing up, you know, some people put on a lot of clothes in this house, you know, and all kind of fancy clothes and stuff like that, fancy makeup and all right. Kind of, you know, they're going to spend a couple hours in front of the mirror instead of spending in front of the mirror of the Bible. There's a best mirror to spend time in, you know. If you could spend the same time in front of the mirror like this, you spend in front of the mirror in like this, and you read and let the word sink in, and that mirror gonna change your image, you know. Just like how that mirror, you go dab and dab and you whatever, and then you change your image. Well, the mirror, the God's word, the Bible, gonna change your image and for eternity. You know, for eternity, because this image here, so we are doing here, so after 50 years or you know, it change up. After a while, you'll be like, man, I'll forget about it at least in time, you know, and you'll stop. But you see, a lot of times you spend too much time and concern about this. You know, I was listening to one preacher the other day and said that a lot of Christians are walking around naked. Because we are not clothed in the armor of God, you know. But you're concerned about putting on all this clothes. You need to put on the armor of God. Or even put on, as the Bible said, the robe of what? Righteousness. You know, we take off our robe of righteousness and tell people off. You know what I mean? But we need to keep clothed, covered in Christ. Not covered with clothes. But yes, covered with clothes because I want to. But the main covering is that you cover with the blood of Jesus. Yeah. You cover with the robe of righteousness. You cover with the arm of God. You walk out there with your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You got the sword of the Spirit. You dress up well before you come out of the house. Yeah. You know, so that you know, when people come at you with all kind of fiery darts, you're able to just keep your peace, right? You don't lose your peace over nothing. You know, and you could keep your peace. Once we dress right, dress up good, right? Dress up good. Make sure you put on your shield, and make sure you put on your breastplate and your belt guard along with what? Truth, you know. Make sure you dress up good, right? So this is what this, you know. Spend more time with God, you know. And here it says, believe in God, you know. Believe in Jesus Christ. Let's not get too taken up in too much of worldly things, but let's take up with the things of God. Believe in God. Trust in God. Seek God. When you believe in God, you want to, you know where the disciples went? They sleep with Him. They went all around with Him. They wherever He go, if they had there to sleep, where they probably, I don't know, maybe they sleep on rocks or whatever, but everywhere He goes, they were with Him. And so we need to be like that. Everywhere we must take Jesus with us.
Hallelujah.
Everywhere, follow Him. And don't let us, even though we don't have a physical Jesus at our side, the Bible said He sent what? The Comforter, the Helper.
Hallelujah.
To be by our sides. And so the Holy Spirit is always with us. And He will never leave us nor forsake us. And if we got that picture within our mind, we will not be in trouble. Because when we go through any trouble, we can say, Jesus, You can handle it. I can't, this is too much for me. I can't handle this. You gotta handle this. You know, this is you. So I ain't got no worries. Because once you cast everything, the Bible says, cast all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. So don't be troubled. You know, and then He said, in My Father's house, there are many mansions. You know, when I think about this, you know, a rich person, you know, they might have a game room and a study room and a, all kind of thing in this mansion, you know. But when God mansion, we can look at that and think about the mansion of God. But I think then and nobody can actually explain how big and how huge. If you got the brightest idea, it's probably just a speckle of what it's going to be like. You know, the image of, you know, even when John was on the Isle of Patmos and he got all those images, he could only tell us this much. You know, your words could only explain part of how beautiful things are. But, you know, it's much more beautiful. And we can look forward for this. And the most important thing is not that the Father's house have many mansions. But one of the most important thing is the end of verse 3, where it says, "Where I am, there you may be also." Where is that? It's the same to that. Where I'm going, I'm going to a place, and if I go at your place, I will come again and take you to myself. Yeah, that you may be where I am. Okay, right. The King James have them. Where I am in the end of 3. Where it says, "Where I am, there you may be also." So that's the most important thing, is that we will be with Jesus.
Yeah.
And I was looking at, I'll just take you a little bit away. As I was looking at as we just talked about John and Patmos. When John was talking about the people of Laodicea, the church of Laodicea, he says they were what? He said they were lukewarm. They were lukewarm. And when you think about lukewarm, lukewarm speaks of compromise. You know, neither hot nor cold. It's a compromise of both hot and cold. And today, we have in the church, we have a whole lot of that, you know, in the churches today we have. I'm not saying this church, but if you find that within your life, you know, maybe you need to check up on what God wants to lead you into. Because compromise is not what God likes. You know, when people are compromising their faith for different things, they're compromising. They're not with God or need. You know, some people are saying, God said you can't serve God and money. But people trying it. They're probably saying, you know what? I can show God I could do it. You know, they want to serve God and money. No, you can't do it. You know, you can't do that. If you're serving God, you got to serve God. You know, we can use money to serve God, you know, like, you know, putting into ministry and sending missionaries out, all of these things. We can use money because these things need money. But you can't serve both. Compromise. It's a compromising church that a lot of times we find that people are compromising their faith for a whole lot of things. You know, some people are serving God, but if somebody give them $1 million, they're gone. You know what I mean? But we need to seek God more earnestly. That don't let nothing move us. Don't let nothing move us.
All right.
Money, fame, fortune, nothing. You know? Don't let nothing get between you and God. It's always God first. Always God first. Sometimes people let family get between them and God.
Right.
You know? Even family. You know, God wants you to have a good wife and children and all these things. But if the children and the wife and the husband come in between you and God, you have to put a section between there and serve God. Put God first.
Yes,
put God first. But, you know, we compromise a lot of times to find ourselves compromising our faith. And we become lukewarm. You know, lukewarm in our faith because we are compromising. You know, work comes before God. You know, I'm not saying work and church, because some people think that, okay, you know, quit your job and come to church. I'm not saying that. You know, I'm talking about God, not church. You know, don't put work before God. You know, don't put work. I don't want you to miss this point that I'm making, because I'm going to look like if I'm talking about church, but really, it's an important that I have gotten so much offers to do work on the weekends, on Sunday. I got big offers, you know, big money offers, you know, to go out and deliver on a Sunday and stuff like that. And I turn, I tell them, because I have purpose in my heart that, you know, weekends is for family and church. And I put nothing between that, you know. I'm not saying that I might not do something, but so far, anytime it comes to any work that they give me, even though it's like triple the money that I normally would get, I would tell them, man, that's a beautiful offer, but I'm going to have to pass it. I do that many times, a couple of times as well. I tell them, no, you know, I said, my weekends is really for family and church. I let the brokers know that too. I tell them, hey, my weekend is for really family and church. I don't really want to compromise that. But you see, you have to have some, you have to take some stands.
Yes.
And you have to, what you purpose in your heart, stick to it. Don't compromise. Don't compromise your beliefs. Don't compromise your faith. Don't compromise anything.
All right.
But you need to fix it. So the Church of Laodicea, they were compromising. You know, lukewarm. Lukewarm,
right,
set of people compromising church.
Right.
And compromise is not what God. Sometimes you can compromise certain things. It's, you know, to make it in a husband and wife relationship, there's a whole lot of compromise. But when you compromise your faith and you believe in God, that's where you got to draw the line.
Amen.
You got to draw the line right there. And you need to say, well, okay, render unto God what belongs to God, the thing of Caesar to Caesar. You know, don't compromise. Don't mix it up. Don't mix it up. Don't mix up God and work and wife and children and everything. You must have your relationship with God has to be something very important.
Yes.
Very important. Number one. You don't let nothing get in between that. Your relationship with God is very, very important.
Amen.
You know, I can't stress that more. It's really, really, really important because we're living in a day where deception is so much. It's all over the place. They tell you all kind of things, even though, you know, you can't even trust the news. You can't even trust the papers. You can't even trust the social media. You don't know. But what you can trust in is in the Word of God.
Yes.
Because the Bible says, I am the truth. That's why he said, believe in me. You know, if you believe in God, believe in me. You know, and he is not no one that is telling you, well, okay, if something. He said, he actually go out and said, if it were not so, I would have told you. So if anything is not right, God will tell you. You know, Jesus will tell you, just trust in him. He can tell you what you need to do. Just trust in him. Just believe in him. Study your word and let the word, I like that passage where it says, a lot of people used to miss that thing, where it says, study the word to show yourself. You know, not study your word to preach to people. Study the word to show yourself approved unto God. That's what you need to do. So even if you're preaching, you've got to study the word. You need to study the word. And even if you're preaching, study the word for yourself sometimes. You know, because the word, you need to study that word to show yourself approved unto God. And you need to be a workman who need not to be ashamed, but rightly. You know, I got some people come and tell me a whole lot of stuff about God made man. One guy come tell me, but God made man on the eighth day. I said, what kind of thing is this? And I know this ain't right. He made Adam on the eighth day, but he made man on the sixth day. But Adam was made on the eighth day. But where the person mixed up the whole word of God is that God says he made man on the sixth day, and then on the seventh day he rested. Then on chapter 3 he started explaining of how he made man from the dust of the earth. And so the person now he said, okay, that was the eighth day. So he made man on the eighth day. And a whole lot of things. And then you got people who come in with the fruit that Eve picked was. She had relationship with the serpent. And then she had relationship with Adam. And read your word.
Amen.
Read the word. You need to rightly divide the word of truth. And then you got another one come and tell me that some people who don't believe in God, they are the Canaanites. I mean, they come from Cain. You know, they're doomed. They're damned. You know, and a whole lot of things people are bringing and mixing up the word, and you got a whole lot of deception all over. Even in some churches, you got deception. So you got to be careful and study the word to show yourself approved unto God and rightly divide the word of truth. So don't let your heart be troubled. You know, I'm going to stop there because this is enough for today, right? and you see, don't let your heart be troubled, but just believe in God. And don't believe in God like the devil, who believe and tremble. But we believe in a God with hope. And we believe in a God because we are going to follow. We're not believers that are just believing and say, yeah, there's a God. No, there's a God that is Lord and Savior over my life. A lot of people are Christian, they're Christians, but Jesus is not Lord. And Jesus needs to be Lord. He needs to be Lord. When Jesus is Lord, you seek him what you're going to do. You don't want to tell Jesus, well, this is what I want for you. No. If he is Lord, you say, Lord, what will thou have me to do? Because he is Lord. I want to do what he wants me to do. Not I want him to do for me what I want him to do.
Yes.
Because he is Lord. And so believe in God, believe in Jesus Christ. Trust in Jesus Christ. Listen to his word and allow him to impact your life and make a change in your life. Follow him at every word, because man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Did you receive something from the Lord?